Some of you, probably most of you, will know that I've been through quite a storm since the beginning of May. I was 4 days into a two-week holiday break in south of France, thanks to Jan and Nigel, when I got a phone call at about 6 o'clock on that Saturday evening of the bank holiday to be told that Bella, my dog, had been hit by a taxi that hadn't stopped and had broken both her back legs. That was quite traumatic, being alone, abroad, and not knowing what would happen, whether she would get through. So endless phone calls began that night, well into 11 o'clock at night, half past 11, because she'd been taken to Chestergate Veterinary Hospital. Thank goodness the couple who had been behind the taxi that didn't stop knew of the hospital and had taken Bella straight there. I rang Dave and Judy and Hannah saying, could they get down to the hospital? Because I had this mad dog house sitter who'd, you know, wouldn't been able to cope. Anyway, bless them all. Thank you so much. They were down there and helped. And Judy and David then took her to the next hospital the next day. And fortunately, she ended up, there were no surgeons in Chester because of the bank holiday. They tried to get to Liverpool. Eventually, she ended up at a place that my vet had recommended. Petra was brilliant. She changed my flight so I could come back on the Monday. And as I was flying back, Bella was having her operation. And again, all I could think of would she get through? It felt as if these roaring waves were coming at me, trying to distress me and even destroy my much-needed sabbatical. So when I arrived at Liverpool Airport, it was lovely to see the faces of Pip and Judy there, and they took me home. Yes, I did cry out to God. I think that's the next slide. And I was asking, why did this happen? Especially when he knew that I needed a break. Why, Lord? Don't you care? Can't you hear me? Where are you? All these things I cried out to him. And I want to say thank you to you, all of you, for your prayers and for your support and for your financial generosity, which has really, really helped me through part of this storm. Say thank you. And I'm sure you have all been through your own storms. Maybe some of you are going through, well, I know some are going through a storm at the moment. Maybe you are fearful of sailing into another storm in the future. These storms, again, will all be different. They might be about financial worries, ill health, redundancy, grief, bereavement, unexpected fallout with friends and family. That can be so distressing. Difficult work situations, guilt, shame, envy, the list can go on of what our storms might feel like. So just now, just quietly, just think about the storms you may have been through, the storm that you're going through, or the storm that you might be fearing that you're sailing into. And just spend a minute thinking about that. And our storms will be very different for one another. A storm for someone might feel like a gentle breeze for someone else. And that's why we never say when we're walking alongside someone who's going through a tough time, I know exactly how you feel, because we don't, because we're not them. But I imagine you are also like me, that when you are going in the storms, you also shout out, "Don't you care, Lord? Where are you? I can't hear your voice." Sometimes we think that our storms aren't important enough for God. And sometimes we just forget God completely and try and navigate those storms in our own strength. But the good news is that we're not the first people to have doubted whether God cares. And the first disciples did as well. And Dave is now going to bring us our reading.
Yes, I'm reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. 35 to 41. You can find this on page 41 in the New Testament section, or it should be up on the...
No, it's not coming up.
Jesus stills a storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
It's Peter God. This story is told just after Jesus had spent a day preaching and teaching on what the kingdom of God is like. And Nigel spoke to us, didn't he, a bit about that last Sunday. I imagine that he had been preaching and teaching from the early hours of the morning until quite late evening. Perhaps it was a day when the crowds were pressing in on him and he hadn't had anything to eat or to drink. And he was exhausted. And he suggests to the disciples, "Let's get into the boat, leave it in crowd, and get to the other side." And it says that the disciples took him in just as he was. They didn't give him an extra cloak to keep him warm. They didn't give him any food. They didn't give him any water. We just have a picture of a really weary, worn out, faint, tired Jesus, who just slumps himself onto this hard board of this fishing boat, puts his head down on a pillow, maybe made up with some nets, and falls into a deep, exhausted sleep. He slept as the wind began to rise. He slept on as the waves began to buffet the boat. He slept on when the sea was filling the boat. He slept on. Now, I don't know how long the disciples had been trying to steady the boat themselves. Some of them were very experienced fishermen. And those of us who've been on the Lake of Galilee ourselves, we know, we're told how dangerous it is, how quickly the storms can come up because of the geographical area. We don't know how long they've been trying to keep the boat steady. But there obviously comes a point when they're so fearful. They are so fearful that they cry out to their Lord, to their teacher, to their master, "Don't you care that we're going to drown, that we're going to perish, that we're going to go under?" And Jesus awakes. He must be drenched. He's probably freezing cold. He's experiencing the same storm. But he gets up and says, "Peace. Be still. Or be quiet. Or shut up." And these are the same words that he used back in chapter 1 to the man with the evil spirit. He said to the evil spirit, "Shut up, be still, be silent." And it appears that both the sea and the wind heard Jesus' voice, obeyed, and calmed down. Someone said, "The lake sank back like an exhausted creature into a motionless repose." I love that. The lake sank back like an exhausted creature into a motionless repose. And we need to remember that for the majority, all of Mark's readers, will have thought of the sea as being evil powers trying to destroy God's creation, God's people, and God's purposes. And we have an illustration here of what the parables were all about. The sovereign power of God was being unleashed. The kingdom of God was and is at hand. I just wonder, when I've been thinking about this, I just wonder if the storm would have been so violent if Jesus, the divine, hadn't been in the boat. I wonder if it was just too much for them and they were angry and wanted to destroy the Messiah. And in response to the disciples' cry to Jesus, "Don't you care?" we get another rebuke. I said at the staff meeting that I thought it was quite a robust rebuke, but I was challenged by some of my staff who said, "Well, it might have been a very gentle rebuke, Kenny." But whatever the rebuke was, he said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, ye of little faith. Where is your faith?" Or as somewhere else I read, "Why are you such cowards? Do you have any faith at all?" It appears that when the disciples asked Jesus about did he care, they weren't sure they could trust him. And then they woke him up for some reason. They must have known he was going to do something. But you see, I don't think care and faith is the same thing. And I want to read, just if you bear with me, a little extract which I came across from a German theologian. Rather, the opposite of care is faith. It is the faith that knows the uncertainty of the future and faces all the enigmas and seemingly meaningless events of life. It simply says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you." I beg you to note that faith does not say, "Nevertheless, I will remain standing. What does not get me down makes me stronger." Any lout could say that if the size of his brain did not prevent him from making a philosophical thought. No, faith says, "Perhaps I may fall, and often I am helpless, but thou will lift me up. My understanding is staggered and utterly confused in the face of the great mass of suffering in the world. But thou dost not forsake me, and therefore I too will hold fast to your hand. For I know that thy love has its way even in the deepest darkness." This is the sense in which faith is the opposite of care. And this is how the Lord himself expressed it when he said, "Do not fear, only believe." Once we allow God to give us this trust, then we begin to taste something of the royal freedom of the children of God. And mysteriously, our whole attitude towards the future changes. Our first interest is no longer the question, the frightened, despairing question, whether God will help, but rather that other question, the glad, confident, eagerly curious question, how God will help. Pascal once said, "It is glorious to ride on a ship in stormy weather when one knows that it cannot go down." So I think care is the complete opposite to faith. Of course, Jesus cares for us. Of course, he will help us. But it might look different in the different situations and the different storms that we face or going through. So I just want you now just to go back and think of that storm you were going through or are going through or may fear for going through. And just think about what will you feel if you hear these words as you're in this storm? Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all? Because Jesus was present in that boat with the disciples, and they saw him unleash this extraordinary power. And their response, "Who is this? Even the wind and sea obey him." Now, I think the disciples were quite slow learners. They had seen some pretty amazing miracles beforehand. They'd seen people being healed and evil spirits being taken out. They had they'd seen amazing things. And yet still, they couldn't completely trust Jesus. So when we find ourselves in the midst of these storms, these raging waves, and feel totally overwhelmed, then we're not by ourselves. But I think we can learn something from this story. And I want to suggest that this story teaches us that Jesus is present. He's present with us. For those of us who have asked Jesus into our lives, into our boats, he is present with us. He may seem to be asleep sometimes. He might seem to even not be too, not very interested in what's going on. but he is with us. He hears the cries of our hearts. He counts our tears. He's always, always present. Tom Wright suggests that when our faith seems small, the invitation to us is, okay, go on, wake Jesus up, pray to him in your fear and anger, and don't be surprised when he turns to you as the storm subsides in the background and asks you, when are you going to get some real faith? So it's okay when we're in that storm to shout out to Jesus because we think he's asleep, we feel that he's not interested, we think he's going to allow us to go under. And I think that's happened, what happened to me in these past 6 weeks. As I said, I did cry out to God. I said, oh, why, Lord? Oh, why has this happened? Now, I know he didn't let it happen. That's not in his nature. But I was pretty traumatized. I felt quite alone. And in these 6 weeks, I haven't been able to do much apart from nurse Bella. I've had an opportunity to read quite a lot, to read my Bible, to pray. And as I've been doing that, I have felt a stillness come in my inner being. I have felt a stillness. Times have been really lonely. It's just felt like just Bella and me locked up in the vicarage. But no, Jesus has been with me as well. So I think, you know, it can be a process. But let's allow Jesus into our storms and not shut him out, not be frightened and try and do everything in our own strength. And some of the books that I've been reading have really challenged me about how deep is my faith. Can I really trust Jesus with the whole of my life? Can I trust Jesus when I am going through storms, when I do feel alone? Can I trust him? Yes, because Jesus is present in our storms. And Jesus' power stills our storms. He's present in our storms, and his power stills our storms. He speaks peace. Be silent. Be quiet. And as we allow him to quieten our storms, transform the situations we are in, then surely we too will be in awe. Be in awe as a disciple. Who is this person who comes and stills the wind and the waves? Jesus is present, and Jesus' power is there to still our storms. So I think having this faith means believing that God exists, knowing he cares and that he helps us, and that he is present with us. Faith means believing and trusting in the power of God. Faith means receiving his peace and receiving the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth. Jesus is present. Jesus is powerful. And sometimes I think we should take time just imagining ourselves in a boat with Jesus. I had to do this last year. Sadly, I've had to cancel my retreat this year. But last year, and I had to spend a day in the boat with Jesus. And in fact, it was on a very still loch in Scotland. And I think sometimes we just need to take time to imagine, though, in a boat with Jesus, when the lake is still, which will grow our confidence to know that he's in the boat in our storms as well. A Welsh preacher said this: "With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm." Because when we're confident that Jesus is with us in our boat at all times, then I think too, our faith will grow because Jesus is present and Jesus is powerful. So I'm coming into shore now, but let us just imagine for a moment what St. Mark's would look like if all of us who have asked Jesus into our lives, into our boats, into our vessels, are so aware of his presence with us, knowing his peace and proclaiming his power here on earth as it is in heaven. What would people see in us? Well, perhaps they would see hope and peace and prayer and care and compassion and love rather than anger and anxiety and helplessness and selfishness. What might it do to our local community if they see in us the presence and peace and power of Jesus? Perhaps they too might be filled with great awe and say to one another, "Who is this Jesus?" Imagine that. That would be a miracle as we see heaven breaking in onto earth. Jesus is present. Jesus is powerful. We don't need to fear. Rather, we need to trust in Jesus' presence and power, even in the midst of our life's storms. That, I suggest, is faith.